And now we have the pleasure of bringing on one of the top broadcasters in America, Tom Joyner. And Tom, we're just going to turn it over to you. You come in and tell us about the massive voter fraud and other things that we need to know about. Tom Joyner, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, the FBI has decided to reopen the investigation of Hillary Clinton's email based on new email evidence. That's a major announcement, because it will be difficult now for the FBI to give Clinton another free pass. The evidence is there already to show that she had emails destroyed after she was told by Congress not to destroy them. They were subpoenaed and she destroyed them. That is, among other things, obstruction of justice. Her dishonest, unethical past is finally catching up to her. Obama, Valerie Jarrett, Loretta Lynch, and Clinton herself will place enormous pressure on James Comey and the FBI to whitewash the investigation once again. If Comey has any shred of integrity or cares about the integrity of the FBI, he will stand firm now against that pressure and refuse to allow justice to not finally be served. There are many angry FBI agents, I know some of them, who have inside information on Hillary's email scandal, and they have threatened to go public if the fix remains in. There is no way that the FBI would make this announcement unless they had some evidence of corruption in Huma Abedin's email server and her husband, Anthony Weiner. With thousands of emails to sift through, it's going to take time to bring all evidence to the surface. But common sense dictates that incriminating evidence was discovered in order to go public. Hillary Clinton's health is in question. Her political future is in jeopardy. And if either one fails, we are stuck with the goofy Tim Kaine as president. Those who vote or have voted for Clinton will live to regret it. The American voter has been played for a sucker in the coming election by a crooked Clinton campaign machine. Liberal Democrats like Debbie Wasserman Schultz and Donna Brazile, and a mainstream media that dropped all pretense of fairness. By the way, under heavy pressure, today, CNN dropped Donna Brazile from its lineup. About time. 96% of all money given to the two presidential candidates from media members has gone to Democrats. 96%. All major networks, plus cable sources like MSNBC and CNN, spin the news for Hillary Clinton and devote at least 10 minutes each night in the primetime newscast to favorable reports on Clinton and unfavorable reports on Trump. Newspapers like the New York Times, Washington Post, and Raleigh's News and Observer are left-wing shills that run favorable editorials about Democrats and unfavorable ones for Republicans. Nasty cartoons are run to add to the denigration of Trump. In short, the mainstream media can no longer be trusted to fairly deliver our news. That should shock all Americans, because if this can happen to one political party, it can happen to the other. Add to all of this an education system that not only fails our children, but tries to brainwash them with liberal dogma. All of this adds up to further proof that our country has been taken over by communists and socialists. I'm not sure that most Americans understand how dangerous Hillary Clinton is when she advocates for open borders. That would mean any person in any country can walk into America freely, take advantage of benefits we offer to immigrants, legal and illegal, and either contribute to our country or plot our downfall. We won't know which of them are here for terrorism. Once they get enough of their terrorist agents into our country, they will turn us into another Iraq or Syria. Barack Obama wants to bring in 10,000 more Syrian refugees before leaving office. Hillary Clinton wants to bring in 65,000 of them, moving it up to 100,000, even while admitting that we cannot possibly screen them all. This isn't a political game we're playing. It's a life and death situation. Most Americans can't imagine that things could get worse. But believe me, folks, it can get worse, and it will get worse, unless we demand that our borders are sealed and that no one enters this country until we know who they are and what their intentions are in coming here. That's common sense, something foreign to Hillary Clinton's leftist ideology. Email leaks are coming out steadily about the Clinton camp's shady, even criminal practices. Consider that when Debbie Wasserman Schultz, the head of the National Democratic Committee, was caught colluding with the Clinton camp to help defeat Bernie Sanders and had to resign, Hillary Clinton quickly hired her. Then we find that Schultz's replacement, Donna Brazile, had a friendly news organization feed her debate questions. She fed the questions to the Clinton campaign so that Hillary could rehearse her answers. Dishonesty in the Clinton campaign, the news media, and the National Democrat Party is rampant. Let me be blunt. While there are many local Democrats who are not part of the corruption in their party, the national elite Democrats are a bunch of crooked people who have no morals. Leaked emails from John Podesta, Hillary's campaign manager, make it clear that Democrats have been promoting voter fraud on a massive scale. They also show that Democrats paying people to start fights at Trump rallies have the liberal mainstream media allowing it to be broadcast. They can accuse Trump supporters of being violent. The leaked emails show beyond a shadow of a doubt that Barack Obama lied about not knowing of Hillary's private server and that her campaign was trying to find a way to cover it all up. The only way they could do that is if the media would not ask questions, not investigate the corruption. The media was happy to oblige. Now, I want to repeat something that I've told you before. The Clintons and the Obamas hate each other, but the need to cover for each other is so great that they pretend to be close friends. Look at what Barack and Michelle Obama said about Hillary in 2008 and what she said about them. And then look at what they're saying today. Were they lying in 2008, or are they lying today? The Obamas and the Clintons are desperate to get Hillary into the White House where she can control events as Obama has done, where she can use the Justice Department and the FBI to stop legal action against her, just as Obama has done. If Clinton is defeated and Trump becomes president, changes will be made in the Justice Department and the FBI, and Hillary will be indicted. I meant to say if Trump wins. Now, if Hillary goes down, she's going to take Obama with her. So they have to work together to keep their criminal activities under wraps. If Hillary is elected, we can rest easier knowing that the leaks will continue coming. She will be under intense fire, and ultimately, she will be impeached. I'm amused that when Clinton talks about Trump's temperament, given that there is ample evidence that Hillary Clinton is a volatile, foul-mouthed person who verbally attacks her staff, Secret Service agents, and police details, screams and throws lamps and other objects when upset. She is far from the calm, level-headed person she portrays on television. The Hillary we see on television is not the same Hillary in private. The news media and liberal Democrats pretend that voter fraud is nothing to worry about, but the facts beg to differ. John Hawkins of Town Hall, among others, provides research to put the lie to the claim of only a few cases of voter fraud. After George W. Bush defeated Al Gore at the ballot box and in a rare show of fortitude for a Republican, didn't stand by haplessly wringing his hands when Gore tried to lawyer his way into the White House, liberals were outraged. Gore had never been ahead at any point, but to liberals it was obviously voter fraud that had cost the Democrats the election. Afterwards, they demanded that we do more to ensure the integrity of our elections. Republicans agreed. And for a while, we finally had an issue where there was a genuine bipartisan agreement. Then came the 2004 elections, and many of the same liberals who had demanded better, more accurate voting machines they wanted were being used for fraud because they didn't get the results they wanted. That was their claim. and that marked the end of the left's interest in stopping fraud at the ballot box. On the other hand, Republicans have continued to try to make our elections honest and fair. To that end, one of the measures the GOP is pushing for is voter identification. If you need a photo ID to get on an airplane, cash a check, buy alcohol, rent a car, get a marriage license, or to get into the Democratic National Convention, then asking for a photo ID to vote is a no-brainer. However, Democrats know that they benefit from voter fraud, so they oppose any sort of attempts to verify that voters are who voters say they are. They oppose any sort of action that will bring us voter IDs. Now, I find it somewhat insulting. They use two excuses. The first is their patronizing and insulting claim that black Americans are so uniquely stupid and incompetent that they cannot be expected to get a photo ID like white people do. It is amazing that a major political party would make such a racist argument, but Democrats do. Their other claim is that voter fraud is so exceedingly rare, so unlikely, such an impossibility, that there is no need for any voter registration. According to Democrats, we can safely assume that everybody will be honest on Election Day, even those who are dishonest the rest of the year. So there is no need, in their mind, to take basic precautions or take steps to prevent voter fraud, because to them it just doesn't happen. They know better, but that's what they tell us. Well, to the contrary, voter fraud happens all the time, and it does occur on a level large enough to impact close elections. Furthermore, it undoubtedly happens much more than we realize. After all, if poll workers are prevented by law from asking people who they are, if they say who they are and then can't prove who they are, how often could we possibly catch people in the act? Afterwards, when you have disinterested government employees or partisan groups scanning voter data to try to find the fraud, it's nearly impossible. You can't look at a spreadsheet and determine that person X was really person Y. So if you don't bother to check for voter ID on the front end, you're probably not going to find it on the back end. When you consider that a dedicated, well-prepared team of dozens and dozens of operatives could literally go from polling place to polling place and cast hundreds of fraudulent votes a day with little chance of getting caught, it's no small issue. Have you ever lived or voted in another state? I have, in Virginia, Tennessee, Texas, and Florida. I'm still on the rolls as a voter in all four states plus North Carolina. If you lived and voted in another state, you are still on the rolls and you could vote there. Or you could have someone vote in your name there. According to Pew Research, there are 1.8 million dead people still eligible to vote, and many do. There are 2,750,000 people who are on the voting rolls in multiple states. That's why we should have a system in place other than the Democrats' touching insistence that everybody is honest on Election Day. Because, as you're about to hear, that's certainly not the case. Consider that I could now get in my car, drive around, vote in Virginia, Tennessee, Texas, and Florida, in addition to my vote here in North Carolina. James O'Keefe's Project Veritas shows how easy voter fraud is without proper photo ID. When an undercover conservative reporter can vote as Ben Jealous of the NAACP, comedian Ben Maher, or Hillary's friend David Brock if he wants, there's a hole as wide as the Grand Canyon in our voting system. O'Keefe went to poll locations in Washington, D.C. on April 3rd. He was offered ballots for each of these people. Even the 9/11 hijackers were registered to vote. How could that happen? The Motor Voter Act of 1993, which was the first piece of legislation Bill Clinton signed into law, mandated that states have to accept postcard voter registrations and also offer people applying for driver's licenses the chance to register to vote. Several of the 9/11 hijackers did register to vote when they got their driver's license and other false IDs. For the past 50 years, devious Democrats on the national level have embarked on a quest to line up uneducated, uninformed voters and illegal immigrants to vote, because they know those people will vote Democrat in order to keep benefits flowing into them. Liberal Democrats are desperate to bring in more immigrants who they intend to get registered to vote, legally or illegally. And that's why we have moved to rigged elections. While the first two examples do not show any actual voter fraud, they show how incredibly easy it is to commit voter fraud. Do we have an example of voter fraud swinging an election? Yes, we do. The Washington Examiner reported that Al Franken won a Senate seat in Minnesota by only 312 votes in a race that saw 1,009 felons voting. All of those felons were ineligible to vote. That is why stopping voter fraud and rigged elections are so very important. Democratic congressional candidate Wendy Rosen ran for Congress in Maryland, but she had to bow out when it was discovered that she had been voting in two states, Maryland and Florida. Remember, it only takes one person with voter fraud to cancel out your vote. Only one. Former New Albany Democrat mayoral candidate Paul Etheridge was arrested and charged with solicitation for a fraudulent absentee ballot, forgery of official ballot endorsement, and fraudulent delivery of a ballot. Another Democrat, an NAACP executive, went to prison for massive voter fraud in Mississippi. A jury convicted Les Adala Sowers on 10 counts of fraudulently casting absentee ballots. She voted in the names of 6 living people and 4 dead people. That means 10 people in that one instance had their votes nullified. The NAACP National Voter Fund registered a dead man to vote in Lake County, Ohio in 2004. That same year, out of 325 voter registration cards filed by the NAACP in Cleveland, 48 were flagged as fraudulent. Well, what difference does all of this make, you might ask? A few people cheating here and there can't have a big impact. Not true. And it's far from a few people voting here and there. John Kennedy won his Democratic primary in 1960 due to voter fraud. They rigged the West Virginia Democrat primary in 1960. But the Wall Street Journal, who had sent investigators there and knew of that fraud, killed the story. That secret was kept secret for more than 35 years. By the way, Barack Obama warned us of rigged elections in 2008. Liberal Democrats have a short memory. Many Democrats on the state and local level are good people, but on the national level, it is the most corrupt political party in our nation's history. I'll give you more proof in a moment. But WikiLeaks just produced a tape of a Democrat Party community organizer of 4 decades, a man named Robert Creamer. In that tape, we see Creamer boasting about his decades of promoting voter fraud. He described in detail how his organization, Democracy Partners, and other such loathsome Democrat organizations had engaged in voter fraud on a massive scale for 50 years. He told of renting cars for operatives so they could drive people from state to state to fraudulently vote. This was a massive voter fraud scheme, one of many. Creamer also spelled out how he and other Democrat operatives disrupted Trump rallies by paying mentally ill people and others to attend the Trump rallies, and to pick fights so the Trump campaign would be blamed in the media. Robert Creamer is a bad hombre. In 2006, he spent 5 months in prison for a $2.3 million bank fraud. This despicable man was in the White House 340 times from 2009 to June 2016. His visits were mostly with Valerie Jarrett, but on 45 occasions, this man met with Barack Obama himself. They had nothing to talk about except criminal behavior to rig the election. The media has been mostly silent about this proof of voter fraud rising to the very top of Democrat government. Hans Sakowski is a senior fellow at the Heritage Institute, and he compiled other cases of voter fraud. I'll list a few, but he documented 200 more, and that's the tip of the iceberg. In McAllen, Texas, two campaign workers bribed voters with cocaine, beer, cigarettes, and cash during a 2012 school board election. They were sentenced to prison. A couple in Le Sueur, Minnesota, charged with felony voter fraud for lying about where they lived so they could vote in a school bond referendum in another town. All Democrats. A woman in Dothan, Alabama, was sentenced to prison for her part in a voter registration fraud scheme that got a city commissioner reelected. She was the second of four people charged and found guilty of voter fraud in that case, which involved as many as 100 absentee ballots. Bronx Democrat Hector Ramirez was arrested after a 242-count grand jury indictment, charging him with a massive voter fraud scheme that involved tricking voters into letting Ramirez and his staff illegally vote their absentee ballots. Do you still buy the Democrat argument that voter fraud is rare? A state appeals court upheld a ruling voiding a 2013 commission in Weslaco, Texas, in which dozens of illegal votes were cast in an election won by just 16 votes. Dozens of illegal votes cast in an election that was won by just 16 votes. The illegal votes included individuals falsely claiming to reside in the city and improper assistants that told voters who to vote for and drove them to the polls. A great example of how even a small amount of voter fraud can make a difference in a close election. In Philadelphia, the setting of the infamous 2008 New Black Panther Party voter intimidation case, four local election officials were arrested for casting multiple votes in the city's 18th ward in a precinct in which three of them did not live and were not registered to vote. This is the same district where two Democratic state legislators were indicted for accepting bribes in exchange for voting against a voter ID bill. On March 7, 2015, the Board of Immigration Appeals of the Executive Office for Immigration Review held that a Peruvian citizen who illegally registered to vote and voted could be deported for violating federal law. If this woman had not applied to become an American citizen, she could have continued to vote illegally with almost no chance of getting caught. This case of the Peruvian woman is just another example of how easy it is for non-citizens to vote in our elections. And there are politicians in the Democrat Party who want to ensure that they can continue to illegally vote without getting caught. The Virginia legislature recently passed a common sense election reform bill. It was House Bill 1315. It would have required county jury commissioners to provide local election officials with the names of individuals who were called for jury duty and turned out not to be American citizens. It was discovered in 2011 that 278 individuals who were not American citizens had registered to vote in Fairfax County, 117 of who had already voted in the state and federal elections. Under the Obama Justice Department, nothing was ever done about it. Governor Terry McAuliffe, a former fundraiser for the Clintons, vetoed that bill on April 30, 2015. There was not a single public policy reason for vetoing simple, straightforward legislation, unless you want to ensure that non-citizens can continue to register and to vote illegally in Virginia elections with little fear of being discovered, particularly if you know that the vast majority of these illegal voters support the Democrat Party. Virginia is a purple state, and every vote will count in this 2016 election. By the way, this is the same Terry McAuliffe who signed a note in the millions for the Clintons to buy their mansion in Chappaqua, New York, and the same McAuliffe who donated hundreds of thousands of dollars to the wife of the FBI's second in command. Her husband was charged with investigating Hillary Clinton in the email scandals, which the FBI decided not to prosecute, even though Clinton clearly and without question was guilty of obstruction of justice in erasing 33,000 emails that had been subpoenaed by Congress. Clearly, a criminal act. A Pew Center on the States study estimates 24 million voter registrations, one of every eight, are significantly inaccurate or no longer valid. 24 million. 2,750,000 have registered to vote in more than one state. And as I said, more than 1.8 million dead people are still listed on the roll as voters, and many of them rise up to vote every 4 years. A CBS Denver affiliate found multiple instances where dead Coloradans were still voting. A dead veteran voted in the 2006 primary, and a woman who died in 2009 cast ballots in four subsequent elections. Dead people were registered to vote in Virginia. The Pennsylvania Secretary of State found that over 700 voters may have cast more than one ballot. A Washington Post column stated that over 14% of non-citizens surveyed in 2008 and 2010 said they were registered to vote, even though they are non-citizens. Non-citizens could well have provided Obama's narrow margin of victory in North Carolina in 2008. The mainstream media has gone all out in abandoning fairness to help Hillary Clinton. It is not a conspiracy theory to say they are rigging the election on November 8, and it's not the first time. Let me be perfectly clear. Power and greed are at the heart of the National Democratic Party. Republicans are not perfect either, but we don't see reports or proof of Republicans engaging or supporting voter fraud. But instances of voter fraud among Democrats are well documented. If you are a registered Democrat, do you really want our country's future decided by the uneducated, the uninformed, and those gathered together every 4 years and bribed, paid, or transported to the polls? Do you really want illegal immigrants to be allowed to circumvent our system and vote illegally? More and more of them are pouring in every day. It will not be long before your vote would not even count. Americans who built this country are slowly dying out, replaced by many who have no real allegiance to America. We have a younger generation who know little or nothing about history, who have no idea what it takes to live in the many countries in our world where there is no freedom. We have people who insist upon being called African Americans, have no idea of the living conditions in those African countries and how fortunate they are to be in the United States. People who expect perfection from the police, but who are so imperfect themselves. We have communists and socialists like George Soros and others whose stated aim is to destroy the American system, and who are pumping money into the campaign of Hillary Clinton, a woman who idolized the original community organizer and communist, Saul Alinsky, and who wants to open our borders to any and all immigrants who cannot possibly be vetted, and she has admitted that. Let me be blunt. The Democrat Party on the national level is filled with socialists, communists, and anarchists. Power and greed drives them. They do not concern themselves with the future of America, just how to get richer and how to make America a socialist country. They count on the fact that some Americans, frankly, most Americans, do not pay attention to their freedoms being eroded. They turn a deaf ear to the warnings of those who do pay attention and who see the pattern of dishonesty, deceit, and moral collapse of a once great nation. A roll call of national Democrat figures includes people like Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, Harry Reid, Nancy Pelosi, Debbie Wasserman Schultz, Robert Creamer, Sheila Jackson Lee, a Yale graduate who does not know the difference between WikiLeaks and Wikipedia, Anthony Weiner, Bill de Blasio, Elijah Cummings. The list is virtually endless. All of these people have retained office, except Weiner and Schultz, whose dishonesty was too great to deny, by manipulating the news, by sitting on their millions of dollars, personal dollars, while accusing Republicans of tax cuts for the rich, but using those same tax laws to minimize their taxes, and yet making a campaign issue of Trump using the same laws to minimize his taxes. Make no mistake, Donald Trump broke no laws and violated no IRS policy. This bogus issue was just a part of yet another Democratic scheme to divert voters' attention from the criminal past of Hillary Clinton. It worked because the mainstream media is in partnership with the Democratic Party to rig this election. As Robert Creamer admitted, Democrats have been doing that for 50 years. If given the chance, I'd opt for another Republican candidate other than Trump, but none of us have that chance. My vote for Trump was more against Hillary than for Trump, although I sincerely believe that Trump will surround himself with people like Trey Gowdy, Mike Huckabee, Rudy Giuliani, Ben Carson, Chris Christie, Newt Gingrich, and General Flynn, among others, and be a great president. His main fault is his ego and saying things better left unsaid. But Trump does not have 30 years of political experience to learn to say one thing in public and another thing in private as Hillary Clinton does. 8 days from now, the die will be cast. We will elect a man who has said some naughty things, or a woman who has lived her adult life as a lie, dishonest, deceitful, unethical, and dangerous. The future of our country lies in the balance. Which side of history will you be on? Carl?
Well, thank you, Tom. Another great commentary today, and I thank you for that. I know you spent a lot of time putting all this together, and I thank you for the effort that you made today.
Well, Carl, let me also thank our, we got a few minutes?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Let me thank the people that came out last Tuesday and last Thursday to visit with us in Smithfield at Holtz Lake Barbecue. We had great crowds that were very attentive, and we sold I donated my books, and I donated my keychain flashlights that I hand out to the flood victims of our area. Anybody who bought a book or bought the keychains, and many did, that money, every single penny of it, not some net after I get my cut, every single penny went to help the flood victims of our area from Hurricane Matthew. I thank all of you for coming out. I wish all others could have been there. Frankly, I wish more young people could have been there because most of the crowd was people like myself who have a little age. They're great people. But I really would like to have touched the hearts of some young people who need an inspirational message to show them that in America, everything and anything is possible, regardless of where you're born, where you live, what you have or don't have. Anything is possible in this great country.
Absolutely. Any other comment you wish to make? We have another minute or two if you do.
I'm interested in how the Democrats are reacting to the man they call such a great American, James Comey, the FBI chief. When he absolved Hillary Clinton or refused to indict her, the Democrats said he was the greatest thing since sliced bread. Now, when he has reopened the investigation, they say he's a dirty dog. Comey said at the time that he was not indicting or recommending that she be indicted at that point. But if they discovered any other information, any more evidence, he would reopen the investigation. They discovered it, and he did. He has agents in the FBI, and I know some of them, who have been investigating this and who are so angry at the fact that they gave Hillary Clinton a pass the last time around that they were willing to quit their jobs and come forward with the evidence themselves. James Comey had no choice. He was between a rock and a hard place. The information that the investigation needed to be reopened was going to come out anyway. Now, there are, by the count of the media, hundreds of thousands of emails on Anthony Weiner and Huba Abedin's email server. Ironically, Huma has now lawyered up, and her lawyers are working with the FBI, trying to find some way to save her from going to prison. I honestly believe, and we'll see who's right and who's wrong, I honestly believe that many of the emails that Hillary Clinton thought she had erased are on that email server of Huma Abedin's and Carlos Danger, or her husband, Anthony Weiner. They were listed, remember this, on that server. These were categorized as life insurance. When you look at the number, the vast number of people who died suddenly and mysteriously when they confronted the Clintons, and we're talking about more than 50, when you look at that, you better have life insurance if you're going to confront the Clintons. So I believe, truthfully, that we're going to find many of her emails in that. We're going to find that she was communicating with Barack Obama and he with her, even though he said he didn't know about her server, and he only found out when the press told him about it. We're going to find that not to be true. Now, if what I'm telling you turns out not to be the case, I will profusely apologize and correct the record. But I truly believe that this time the Clintons have overstayed their welcome. Their crime syndicate is going to be shut down. Hillary Clinton is not going to be elected, or if she is, she will be taken out of office as all of this scandal gets evidence to prove it. We are then left, friends, with Tim Kaine, that goofy guy who has just been accused of adultery himself, by the way, in the last 2 days. So when you play with that kind of fire, Democrats, you got to understand you can have a backfire.
Amen. We'll hang around for just a minute, because on that email discovered, there were 650,000 emails discovered there. Now, I understand, according to sources that I listened to over the past weekend, that after each presidential election, election files are supposed to be purged of certain people that have died and et cetera, et cetera. None of that has ever happened a single time under the past administration of the President Obama. Eric Holder didn't do anything at all. I think it was the responsibility of the Justice Department, and I'm not sure about this now, but I'm saying this allegedly, maybe, that nothing was done. So I think that if I can read and if I have heard the correct information, I think some of the blame can be laid at the feet of Eric Holder. I think some can be laid at the feet of the Lynch woman, Loretta Lynch. And it seems to me that if this thing is carried out to the fullest extent, that Eric Holder might be in a little bit of problem here.
Eric Holder is going to be in trouble with those emails, Carl. And by the way, CNN today, reluctantly, but because they had no choice, has taken Donna Brazile off of the air at CNN. It has been proven now that she did, in fact, pass questions that were going to be asked in the debates to Hillary Clinton. And so she now has been fired by CNN.
I understand, and this is allegedly again, that Fox News will release Megyn Kelly. I'm not sure about that now, but I've heard some comment that maybe Judge Justice Jeanine might be replacing. All this is allegations. Now, I'm not saying this is a fact. I don't want anybody to take anything I say as a fact, but I have heard some commentary that I had not expected to hear that Justice Jeanine might be replacing Megyn Kelly. You know, she wanted $20 million plus in monies from Fox News. I understand that her ratings have been dropping off.
They tanked.
And that they just might be more to this than you've reported today. And if they the thing now, has it been so egregious that somebody's got to go to prison? It may be.
Exactly, Carl. This time, as Jeremiah Wright said while Obama was sitting in the pew, chickens do come home to roost. They're here.
And some of them go to prison.
Yes, they do. Or the frying pan, which is, in this case, may be the better option.
I think you're right. Tom, I thank you for the research you've done here. I know that many, many people just admire you. They love you, and that was evident Tuesday night and Thursday night. You are essentially one of the great broadcasters of America. So is Wayne Allen Root. So is John B. Wells. So is our good friend Jeff Kuna and Dr. Grace up in Boston, Massachusetts. And we've had some of the finest broadcasters, as you know, across America on the airwaves with us, Jesse Lee Peterson being another one of those, that to be sure. And I think one day, I'm hoping one day, people will appreciate what you have done, what I have done, and they will see that we stood with them through thick and thin.
Carl, I just cut 7 new promotional announcements for the station that's being sent to Chris. And in that, I pointed out how fortunate this area is to have a radio station like WTSB 1090 and 105.5 FM, a local station that gives you the truth. The mainstream media isn't going to do that, but your hometown station will. And God bless America.